This podcast will contain detailed plot spoilers and heavy-duty language. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to a very special Hunnicow Cast March Madness 2015 Episode 2 as I review Arkham Asylum Living Hell that was written by Dan Slott and artwork by Ryan Sook, I believe. Yes. Well, he was the penciler, and yeah, this is probably the more interesting of the Arkham books that I have read. Hunnicow Cast here, never questioned it ever. But speaking of questions, we will get to the Riddler very shortly, as well as some of the other A-list and B-list and C-list Arkham villains. Now, I first found out about this graphic novel back in 2009, when the Arkham Asylum video game was released. It's one of those games where I was going to play for like 2 hours, and I think I got it around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was ready to put it down for the night, and it's now 4 o'clock in the morning, so I played it like 12 hours straight. It's just one of those games. I mean, the Arkham trilogy of video games, Asylum, City, Origins, and, well, when Night comes out in June, you know, they're games I can't shut up about. They're probably the best Batman games I've ever played, and believe me, if you know me, I do have bats on the brain. So I figured this book was originally going to be discussed with Dane Lamont and myself back in October of 2014. The only books we discussed was Arkham Serious House and Serious Earth and Killing Joke. We never got around to Living Hell. And I put it off for a few months, and then I figured, you know what, I'll save it for March Madness, because it is Arkham Asylum. And it's probably the most fucked up Bat Arkham Asylum book I have read. Batman has a cameo. He's not the main star in this series. I believe it was 4 or 5 issues, and then eventually became a trade. It was written in 2003, as I said, and I'm not going to go through every nook and cranny. You just have to pick up the book for yourself. I don't own it. I took it out of the library. You can get the trade on Amazon. You can even get the Kindle trade or the digital trade off of Comicology. It is worth it. I just, you know, I have so many books, and now I'm just doing digital downloads, and I'm sticking with trades. And to me, I think I'm finally going to break down and, pardon the pun, break down. But I'm definitely going to be picking up this trade. What is it about? It is about what anything in Arkham is pretty much about, a person having a really bad day. This one does discuss a little bit about Arkham's history, just like Serious House and Serious Earth, and it also gives us 4 new villains that I don't think are in New 52. You know, there's so much continuity, 75 years of Batman, it's hard to tell who's here, who isn't, what's going on, what isn't. But there's great artwork, and there's some great cover one-shots, and I'm just going to give you the cliff notes right now about this book. We're introduced to Warren White, who's probably the worst person you'll ever meet. It feels like something out of the Twilight Zone. Warren is a private investor, best way to describe it, and people giving them their hard-earned money, and Warren pretty much pissed it away for his own personal use. And he's on trial, and all he can do is that, you know, he's this clean-cut white guy, best way to describe it, and because his name is Warren White, and he just, you know, during the sentencing, he pretty much says, "My bad." Well, if I understand this, he's also paid off the jury for him to get off, but as I've said, he's pissed off a lot of people because a lot of people gave them his money and gave them their money to him, sorry. And he's pissed away all of their money. I mean, he's not only pissed off Gotham, he's pretty much pissed off, I think, the entire country and possibly the world. So the judge, we get this great panel where the judge has a gigantic smirk on his face, and Warren is pleading insanity, so the judge decides, well, you know what then, I'm going to send you to Arkham Asylum. And Warren, for some reason, I don't know why, he does not know what Arkham is, which is bizarre. So he goes to Arkham, and he's on the paddy wagon to go to Arkham, and he's in the bus, and we see a couple characters I've never seen before. There's a guy dressed up as a eagle, I guess. There's, of course, Scarecrow. He's sitting next to Jervis Tesh, and across from him is the Riddler. And, of course, you know, Warren, I guess, has no idea who these characters are, and he makes fun of Riddler in his costume, and Riddler just tells him to shut up. So Warren goes to Arkham, and we meet Aaron Cash for the first time. Now, a lot of people know him from the Arkham Asylum video game, but this is his first appearance. And Aaron throws Warren into a cell, and Aaron's pretty much like a badass. until he gets his hand bitten off by Killer Croc. But, you know, that's why I played the interview tape. But, you know, we'll get there when we get there. Also, Aaron, I love this, that he tells Warren White that you're the rich white guy who said only little people pay taxes, which I guess is supposed to be like a Leona Helmsley reference. So Warren is thrown into a cell, and his first cellmate is this character known as Death Rattle, but we'll get to him in a second. The inmates know that Warren is not insane. He just pretended to be insane because he figured it'd be better than going to Blackgate. So the inmates know that Warren is not sane, and they call him the new fish. And they just chant, fish, 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 fish. And anyway, Death Rattle is this guy who's a clairvoyant where he can talk to the dead. And Warren wants to sleep on the top bunk, but Death Rattle's just sitting on the lower bunk, and he's telling Death Rattle's telling Warren that Warren cannot sleep on the top bunk because he smothered this little girl in her sleep, and now her ghost sleeps on the top bunk, and Death Rattle is creepy beyond all. Fuck. So Fish, but that's what he's called now, Warren White is just known as Fish in Arkham. He's sleeping in a corner, he just, you know, is hoping to get out of Arkham. We get to the next day where he's in a shower naked, and apparently guards bring the Joker into the shower room with Warren. And Warren apparently has heard of Joker. He's not heard of Riddler or anyone else, but he's heard of Joker, which is, you know, bizarre. Because I don't know how you can hear about Joker but not the other inmates, but whatever. Warren does a typical prison, you know, mistake. Number one, he drops a soap, but the Joker picks up the soap and hands it to Warren. And we see the Joker in this version. And I don't like the design of Joker in this book. He looks very noodly. I guess he's supposed to be a cross between Dick Van Dyke and I guess any 30s, you know, vaudeville actor. Maybe Jerry Lewis. He's got a pointy chin. I'm just not digging this design of Joker. But Warren drops a soap. Joker picks it up. And, of course, I love the look on his face, and he goes, say I know you. Oh, yeah, you're Warren White, the great white shark who took people's hard-earned money and, you know, pissed it away. And, you know, he tells Warren he's the worst person that the Joker's ever met. And, of course, Warren's response is, you're the Joker, you kill people. But Joker's response is, yes, I do kill people, but at least I don't take people's kids. I don't take kids' college funds. And then he has his big grin, and he leans over to Warren White and goes, you know, I could use your head for a commode and sell it on eBay. Then we get another character called Dr. Carver, who apparently is the head of the psychiatric ward of Arkham. And Dr. Ann Carver is your stereotypical psychiatrist that apparently has heard it all, seen it all, and she's just burned out beyond all recognition. She's just heard so many stories from the inmates of why they're insane, and I guess she has not taken any time for herself, that she's just checked out, literally. Like, she just can't deal with it anymore. Warren is trying to do his best to get out of Arkham, and he's trying to use whatever money he does have to get transferred to a country club facility or a, you know, minimum security facility, but Dr. Carver just figures that because Warren is not insane, that she'll extend the time with him so she can just talk to a normal person. And then we see Dr. Carver. She's starting to date Aaron Cash, and she seems to be, you know, she's just burned out by dealing with the Arkham inmates, but she's okay talking to normal people. And then we just kind of get this montage where Warren White is being attacked by the regulars. Death Rattle just holds Warren down and is licking him. Warren makes a mistake and staring at Two-Face's face, so Two-Face holds Warren by the neck and he flips a coin to see what if he's going to take a shiv and stab it in Warren's eye. Croc walks over to Warren and takes his fingernails and slashes the side of Warren's neck to make it look like gills because he claims that Warren is a new fish. And then, of course, we get a montage how Ann Carver is just tired of dealing with, you know, listening to the Mad Hatter's reasons why he's a killer and why she can't get through to the Riddler. So, Warren eventually tells Ann Carver that he has a Swiss bank account, that he can transfer a certain amount of money that has not been frozen yet, that, you know, he can transfer to her, so as long as he can, you know, get out of Arkham. And then Ann decides to seduce Warren, but then all of a sudden, Batman comes crashing through, you know, this window, and apparently Ann Carver has been killed. We get a new Batman villain that I don't know too much about, because I don't know if this character's in the New 52 or not. The character's name is Jane Doe. Jane Doe, the best way to describe her, is kind of like Clayface, where, as we know, Clayface will assume, you know, mimic the person and their voice. Well, Jane Doe, she kills the person, skins the person alive, wears the person's skin, and then mimics the person. And apparently Jane Doe was going to take the money from Warren White that was not frozen, skin him alive, and become Warren White. But Batman came in and interfered. And unfortunately, Warren is still being forced to, you know, stay in Arkham regardless. So then we get, I guess it would be issue 2, but since this is a trade, we do get a kind of a flashback about Warren, you know, how he's mismanaging funds. He's trying to hold on to the money for himself, for people that have trusted, you know, giving their money to Warren, and Warren's just embezzling and holding on to it and just shredding any, you know, illegal evidence until he's caught. And the chief of staff in Arkham right now is Dr. Jeremiah Arkham. Now, Warren tries to talk to Jeremiah Arkham about being transferred to a minimal security facility. However, Dr. Jeremiah Arkham states that he also lost his pension to, you know, what Warren White conducted before he was arrested. So Jeremiah Arkham says that even though Jane Doe approved the transfer, and even though, you know, it didn't matter because it was from Jane Doe, not Ann Carver. And also, Jeremiah Arkham, you know, this is his revenge for, you know, Warren White costing Dr. Arkham his pension. So, you get the idea. And then Aaron Cash goes into a rubber room where Jane Doe is, and Jane Doe tells Aaron Cash that Dr. Carver never loved Aaron Cash. And Aaron Cash is ready to, you know, beat the crap out of Jane Doe, but then we cut to the mess hall. And Warren White is trying his best to, you know, eat in the mess hall, and he sees this severed finger, but it turns out that it's, you know, Aaron Wesker grabs the finger and says it belongs to Mr. Scarface, you know, Aaron Wesker and the Ventriloquist. And after Warren White screams, we meet Scarecrow, and Scarecrow goes, "Wow, that's a great scream. Could you do that again? Because I study, you know, I study fear, and that was a great pitch." And Warren says, "I don't think I could do that scream again." So Scarecrow goes, "Okay, we're going to do this the hard way." So he takes his fork, jabs Warren in the hand with it, and doesn't get the scream that he wants. And then there's all of a sudden this, you know, riot, and Aaron starts beating the crap out of all the inmates, saying, like, "I'll knock the crazy out of you." Then we meet another new villain, known as Humphrey Dumpfler, better known as Humpty Dumpty. This character, it's a giant, obese man who is an idiot savant, and he likes to talk in nursery rhymes. The best way to describe Humpty Dumpty is that it's just, if you've ever seen the movie Barton Fink, John Goodman's portrayal of Charlie, that's the best way to describe Humphrey Dumpfler. Anyway, Warren goes into the infirmary, and the doctor tells Warren that the best way he's going to survive is that he's going to have to be either Joker's straight man, or, you know, Mad Hatter's tea set guy, or Scarecrow's straw stuffer, or they look over to Two-Face and say, you're going to have to be Two-Face's coin boy. Because Two-Face apparently is in a bed in the infirmary, and both his hands are broken, and he can't flip his coin. So, Warren White agrees that, you know, he'll help flip Two-Face's coin. And it works out, but every time that Warren asks for help, you know, it has to be determined over the fate of a coin. So Warren says he doesn't want to work with Two-Face anymore, and Two-Face says, okay, then flip the coin and wait, the coin decides. If it gets heads, you can go free. If it's tails, I kill you. Warren doesn't want to do it, and Two-Face intimidates Warren White, and then all of a sudden, as Warren is about to flip the coin, he's about to fall, Humpty Dumpty comes out of nowhere, grabs the coin, and says, he's my cellmate now. And they transfer Warren into, you know, Humpty Dumpty's cell. And then, as they're conducting the transfer, Death Rattle tells Aaron Cash that he speaks to the ghost of Van Carver and says, you know, Aaron liked you, but there was never going to be a you know, real relationship, even though Aaron doesn't believe in anything that Death Rattle says. But then Death Rattle tells Aaron, you know, don't ever give me the middle finger again, when Aaron is like, well, how did you know I gave you the finger? He says, I had enough of this. Good night. And then we go into Chapter 3, which is Cracked Up, and it talks about Humpty Dumpty's origin, and it's weird. It's told in a nursery rhyme, and Humpty Dumpty as a kid looks like a young Alfred Hitchcock. And apparently, there was a house next to the Dumpler's property that was supposed to be condemned, but the construction crew destroyed Humpty Dumpty's house and not the condemned house. And apparently one day an ice cream man ran over Humpty's dog, given Humpty is a kid, and I said as a kid he looks like a young Alfred Hitchcock. And then apparently Humpty's parents die, a Christmas tree falls on them and kills them. So Humpty has to live with his elderly, insane grandmother who always beats him. And Humpty decides that he's going to take lemons and make them into lemonade, and he's going to fix things that are broken. One of the things is he finds there's a train that's never running on time, so he tries to fix the train somehow and fix the rails, and the train goes faster, but it, you know, falls off the tracks and it crashes and many people are killed. Then we get something with Batgirl, where Batgirl is trying to find the people that Humpty, of course, has, you know, been killing, or things that have been going on. So what happens is, while Batgirl is trying to hunt down Humphrey Dumpfer, Batgirl accidentally dislocates a shoulder. And because Humpty thinks that Batgirl is a nice person, he's able to fix her arm and pops her arm back into her socket. But then Batgirl asks, like, you know, why do you do the things that you do? And Humpty says, well, you know, Batgirl, you're so nice and everything, I want to show you something. And he takes Batgirl into this abandoned house where Humpty's abusive grandmother was, and apparently he dislocated the grandmother because the grandmother was always so mean to him. Humpty decided to take her apart and put her back together to find out why she was so mean and nasty. And we just see, like, the decimated body, you know, we see a silhouette of it, you know, it's like a shadow of it, and Batgirl's ready to throw up. But Warren White asks, like, why do you want to help me? And Humpty, of course, responds saying, you're the worst person I ever met, but you know what, I think I can fix you, I know I can. And that ends part of Chapter 3. We do end it with Bullock, as Bullock is trying to talk to an old character that I know about from the Justice League cartoon, Jason Blood, better known as Ectragon the Demon. about some weird going-ons that are happening in Arkham. But there also seems to be a prison breakout as Riddler and Mad Hatter are finding ways to, you know, escape from Arkham. And I'll get into all of that right after this.
Say, Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir?
Correct.
The Pull Bag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join me, your host, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pull Bag, you'll also find back-issue classics and origins episodes of how we got into comic reading. You can find the Pull Bag every Wednesday on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pull Bag today.
Jarvis. Hey.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Now for a behind-the-scenes look at Geekcast Radio Network's newest show, Talking in Circles.
That was good. So, Chuck, Greg, what are you guys thinking for this week's show?
Well, Dan, how about we just talk about the things that we've read or watched this week?
We do reviews like that every week, Chuck. How about a game, like Fact or Fiction, or The Power of Names?
Those are great, and we're always coming up with new ideas for games. And how about some top fives? You know how I love my top fives.
What about tournament-style brackets, or sequel, reboot, and destroy? Who will win in a fight? Taking Too Far? Crazy But True News? Or
yes, it appears we have lots of things to work on.
Listen to Talking in Circles, taking timeless topics in new directions, every Tuesday on iTunes or GeekCastRadio.com, the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hey Dan, who's the guy with the creepy voice?
So now we're back with Chapter 4 called TikTok, and of course there's another prison riot, and Warren, of course, is walking up to it, and Dr. Jonathan Arkham gets a phone call from his house that there's a riot going on, and Aaron Cash is doing his best to try to control the riot. And Croc comes out of nowhere and bites off Cash's hand, which is, of course, discussed in the Arkham Asylum video game. As for Joker, he, you know, Two-Face says the Joker has a plan now that he's escaped. And Joker says that he's going to kill everybody whose name is a palindrome. And he goes, look, Nora, Baron, you're going to die. And he asks Two-Face if he's in. Two-Face flips a coin and goes, no. And, you know, Joker just goes off. Then, of course, we find out that Jane Doe has escaped. And she tries her best to, you know, mimic Warren White, and Warren is thrown into a freezer, and he starts to go insane because of all the what's happened in Arkham, and Jane Doe is able to find some sort of skin to look like Warren, and Warren is in a freezer, and he's banging on the outside of the, you know, inside of the freezer to get outside. And Warren starts freezing, his frozen nose breaks off, and he just starts to get crazier and crazier and crazier. And eventually, he turns into the Great White Shark. Meanwhile, Aaron Cash, because Croc bit off Aaron Cash's hand, Dr. Arkham has arrived in Arkham Asylum and asks any available, you know, guards to help take down Croc, and Aaron, of course, is taking down Riddler because he's scared to death of Croc now, but eventually Aaron musters up his courage and they're able to, you know, use a tranquilizer and take down Croc. A lot more goes on with the riot, and apparently there are demons that are literally coming out from the walls, and they're going to take over Arkham Asylum. Jason Blood, better known as Etrigan the Demon, is trying to come in, but it all ends, and this is where it gets a little bizarre. It all ends with Warren White, now known as the Great White Shark, as he's calling himself, decides to negotiate with the demons. He tells the demons that he knows that, you know, once he dies, his soul will burn in hell, but instead of burning in hell, he'll find, you know, a better use to control demons in the afterlife if the demons just remain in hell and he can, you know, stay on Earth and on Arkham for a little while longer. At least that's what I got out of it. And the demons agree. Meanwhile, the ghost of Ann Carver does confront Aaron Cash, and she does tell Aaron that, you know, you shouldn't be based on vengeance, and you shouldn't be based on revenge. Always care about you, but, you know, save whatever you can, you know, the people of Arkham. So, the demons work out in negotiations with Warren White, and the demons dissipate. Batman does come back, and it's weird. He does use the Batmobile, and he runs down Joker, who's trying to escape from Arkham. And we see a bloody Joker saying, you know, I think we should exchange insurance information. And, you know, he's bloody and laying on the ground, and that's pretty much it. And then everything, I guess, seems to go back to normal, if that makes any sense. As Batman has locked up some of the people who tried to escape, Joker's on a gurney going back to his cell, Aaron Cash is, you know, he's bought an alligator wallet because he's not going to be afraid of Croc, and Warren White now, I guess, is going to be the businessman of Arkham, and Riddler is, you know, hoping that once he gets out of Arkham Asylum, that there'll be funds where he can use to purchase a helicopter shaped like a question mark. And then there's a nervous guy who comes off the bus, and Great White Shark goes, "Who's the new fish?" And Humpty Dumpty is his Great White Shark's bodyguard, and everybody shares a laugh, and that's pretty much Arkham Living Hell, the Cliff Notes version of this. Okay, so what did I think of the entire book itself? The pros and cons of Arkham Asylum Living Hell. It's well drawn. It's definitely more graphic novel than comic book. It tells a great story of the asylum without going through every nook and cranny of the asylum or the history of the asylum. Like, I guess, Arkham Madness or, you know, Sirius House on Sirius Earth. It's not a history lesson so much. It just is, like, what the inmates are like when Batman throws them in or whatever the case may be. I love the close-up look of most of the characters. The Judge, Jeremiah Arkham, Aaron Cash, Croc, Aaron Carver. We don't see much of Thy Dark Knight. We don't. And it's not about Batman. It's mainly about people who are not insane will eventually go insane. It's about the staff in Arkham that they just have had enough and how they get burnt out quickly. It's about, you know, how one here's the thing, though. It is about one thing, though. Warren White did a bad thing. Do I feel sorry for the character because Warren White took people's hard-earned money and instead of investing it the correct way, he used it for himself? No. Am I supposed to feel sorry for Warren White? Absolutely not. I never feel sorry for this character. I think that the lunatics literally take over the asylum. And I think, you know, justice is served, Arkham style. The problem is that it just turns Warren White into another supervillain, or whatever the case may be. There are a lot of cons. One of the cons is the Joker's design. I don't like it. It looks, like I said, very noodly, and I don't think they know really what to do with him. For him just to be a palindrome killer towards the end, to have a joke here and there, it doesn't work as much. And speaking of jokes, Riddler, a lot of people criticized, was a joke in this comic, because graphic novel, because Riddler is either made fun of because of his costume, or he doesn't seem to be much of a threat because he's a skinny guy, or he can't wait to have a helicopter shaped like a question mark. Then there's Mad Hatter, who claims that he kills people because he thinks that they're part of a dream and he's trying to end the dream. And then there's Scarecrow, who we don't see much of, but a lot of people have a love-hate relationship towards Scarecrow. I like the fact how he wants to stab Warren White in the hand with a fork just to, like, you know, measure the pitch of the scream. I think that's interesting, because that feels like Scarecrow, because he likes to study fear. But I don't know where Death Rattle and Humpty Dumpty and Great White Shark and Jane Doe measure out in New 52. I have not seen them in New 52. I've read a few things of New 52. They don't seem... I know there's a King Shark in Suicide Squad, but I don't know much else about Great White Shark. I think once New 52 came up, these characters just kind of like faded away. As for Humpty Dumpty goes, I do know that he was on the top 30 worst villains, I think, from comicbookresources.com. And I think that Jane Doe, I don't think, has been seen from or heard from since. Death Rattle, there's only so much you can do with that character, as I said. And as I said, Humpty Dumpty, I think, was also in the Batman cartoon in one episode. And that was pretty much it. So, past all that, what are the pros? Well, the pros, as I said, I like Warren before he becomes Great White Shark, about how he's trying to survive in Arkham the best that he can. We don't see much of Two-Face, sadly, but I do like, you know, Two-Face is a lot more intimidating. I think once he's not Tommy Lee Jones / Yosemite Sam, if you see the Two-Face from, you know, the animated series or Dark Knight or Dark Knight Returns, he gets more and more intimidating. So I wish it was a little bit more of Two-Face. I think there's more you can do with the character, but that's just me. The only thing I don't like towards the end are the demons. I understand that it's because Warren White is all about being, you know, a schmoozer and trying to be a slick businessman. But everything that he's done has kind of fallen flat. He thinks because he's slick and he, you know, he can get away with anything because he's just so suave, and he's not. He didn't get away with getting caught. He didn't get away with being sent to Arkham Asylum. He didn't get away with using unfrozen funds to be sent to a minimum security prison, and he didn't get away with not being turned into the Great White Shark. So I'm on the fence with this one, but I think I will break down, pardon the pun again, and purchase this as a digital trade. So 0 being the lowest, 5 being the highest, I'm going to give Arkham Asylum a 3 out of 5. The Humpty Dumpty origin is creepy enough as it is, especially the designs as a young Humpty Dumpty. And, I mean, there's some great images towards the back of the trade, especially how Jason Blood, actually it's Etrigan coming through, you know, Warren White's skin. We see some great shots of Humpty Dumpty. We see some great shots of Two-Faced, you know. There's some great images in the back of the graphic novel that I guess is supposed to be the covers for Arkham Asylum Living Hell. But it does get a little clustered towards the last couple of chapters. That's all I'm going to say. definitely pick it up. And I want to thank you again, the listeners, for listening to the show. So please, you can find us at geekcastradio.com on the syndicated shows, facebook.com Hunnic Outcast, Facebook group Hunnic Outcast, Twitter, Spreaker, Stitcher, YouTube, iTunes, all one word, Hunnic Outcast. And feel free to leave feedback at hunnicfeedback@gmail.com. And at geekcastradio.com, please check out the donation site that they have. They're trying to reach a $1,000 goal to bring some costs down. And please check out all the other great shows that geekcastradio.com has to offer. Pullbag, Altered Geek Unlimited, Beyond the Night, Legends of the Dark Knight, Off the Cup, Pixels in the Animation, Talking in Circles, and of course the syndicated shows, Dan and Jake Get Classy, Turtle Flakes, Geek Movie Scholars, my podcast, of course, many, many others, geekcastradio.com. And also, please check out all the shows that I subscribe to that are non-Geekcast Radio related. Now Playing Podcast, Real Ghost Stories Online, Disney Film Project Podcast, Arkham Sessions, The Bat Cave Podcast, the HP Love Cast Podcast, Digital Drift, Trash Video. Please check them out all in one. They are really awesome podcasts. And of course, as you know, Now Playing Podcast is finishing up their Kickstarter pledge, so please check them out. And they have different thank you gifts if you pledge. So they are putting together a book, and I've made my pledge, and definitely check out Now Playing, because they're also going to be having their spring donation series this year, and if it is what I think it is, it's going to be worth it, amongst many things. So with that said, Hunnic Outcast, checking out, and remember, there's always a place for you in the asylum.
Emergency. Batman speaking. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
The biggest.
Tell them, Robin.
Holy superlatives, Batman! It's really exciting.
Greetings, citizens. Join me, your old bat chum, John S. Drew, on my journey to discover what it is I love about the classic 1966 Batman television series on the Batcave podcast. Each episode, I'm joined by a guest host as we review the classic television series. There's a new episode every 2 weeks, same bat time, same bat channel, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at thebatcavepodcast.com.
Holy memoranda, folks! Make a note not to miss it.
Good thinking, Robin.